Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio, and now here are the guys voted numbers 51 and 52 on People Magazine's 50 Sexiest Men's List, Jim Schmiedeberg and Joe Fortunato.
That is correct. Number 51 and 52, we just missed the cut, and we are here tonight for you
live. I was 51, may I add.
You were. I was 51, I got the proof. Good evening, Joe, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Today is August 5th, 2009, and you are listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio. And as you heard on our wonderful new promo there, I am Jim Schmiedeberg and joined, as always, by Joe Fortunato. Before we get to the show this week, we want to, as usual, give out our shout-out to our buddy Poe678, who is a regular poster on Blue Shirt Banter, and he is serving over in Iraq. And we just want to say hello to him and come home soon and come home safe and be ready for Rangers hockey. So, Joe, we got a few things going on this week, not as much as we had originally hoped, at least not that we know of yet. We could have a surprise tonight. We don't want to say what it is, but we'll see what happens.
We do kind of have another surprise, but that will be for later.
We have a big surprise, and then we have another nice surprise along the way. We're going to get into our contest to rename the tagline on Blue Shirt Banter because our old one went obsolete. Our old tagline was covering the Rangers from Avery to Zverev, and obviously we can't use that one anymore because after the arbitrator ruled that Nikolai Zverev was worth $3.9 million, Glenn Sather lit his cigar and said, no, he's not, and said thanks for the action and walked away from the table. Joe, I know you were on the Zverev bandwagon all summer long. What are your thoughts on the end of the Zverev era?
Well, I mean, I was not expecting the arbitration hearing to come out too close to $4 million, and I guess that at that price for a year, Zverev is affordable, but we have to think about re-signing Dubinsky. We have to think about cap space for the trade deadline. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not too shaken up about it. The more I've thought about it, the more it isn't the worst thing in the world. I have a lot of problem with the fact that the Rangers gave up Tuten and got nothing back in return. And I mean that's really
that's not true. We got Dan Frisch. Oh no, that's right. We don't have him.
So to think that we lost Tuten, who although was not exactly your best defenseman, and as of right now probably wouldn't be in the top two pairings. Well, maybe he would be. Depends on Redden. It's not the worst thing in the world, but you'd like to see more, I guess, bang for your buck when it comes to trades. And let's just hope it doesn't happen again.
Well, I kind of, as far as disappointment over Zverev leaving, only from the standpoint, like you said, that now there's nothing to show for it, because the way I look at it, when you compare Federer Tutin to Michael Rosenvall or Wade Redden, obviously you'd rather have Tutin than Redden. Would you rather have Tutin than Rosenvall? I would think so. I kind of like Michael Rosenvall. I think he'll, when he, you know, as we've talked about before, I think if he comes back healthy, he'll be fine. But as far as Tutin's, you know, just being a young defenseman as opposed to, you know, somebody that's a little bit older, and Tutin would have come a little bit cheaper. And I also thought that Tutin was one of the best hip checkers in the league. I mean, the guy was just amazing the way he could
agree.
Do that.
He got
the way
so
he could
low.
Throw that hip check. But so Zverev was the big topic of conversation this week on the boards. We were pretty much talking about it every day. I'm kind of glad it's over one way or the other, so we can move on. We are down to, I think, 30. Today is the 5th. We have 26 days left of the month and 12. So we have 38 days to training camp. We're getting there. So we've just got a little over 5 weeks until training camp. The Rangers report on September 12th to the, I believe it is the MSG Training Center for their physicals. And then 3 days later is their first preseason game. So we're not too far off. And thank God, because baseball season, as far as I'm concerned, is over. The Mets, in spite of their 9-0 win today, I'm not. They're finished. We've got football coming up as well, but we're all anxious for hockey to get started again. Now, Joe, we have one of our regular callers is already on the line. He's been on the line since before the music started playing, and we all know he's got to get to work at some point this evening. So without further ado, why don't we bring him in? Mike from Howard Beach. Good evening, Mike. How are you?
My pleasure to be with you, gentlemen. How's everything?
Always a pleasure to have you. Good. We wanted to get you on before we know you have to go to work this evening.
Yes, and, I appreciate it.
And for those of you that don't know, Mike lives in Howard Beach, and he has to take 14 different trains to get to work. So he leaves for work about 9 o'clock, and he gets in about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Exactly.
So, Mike, welcome.
So it's a 27-hour day, and it's just beautiful.
what's on your mind tonight?
I'm going to get to Zverev in a second. You had a caller on a couple of weeks ago. Man, this guy was ticked off about the fact that we are relishing the fact that we won the Stanley Cup in 94. Now, let me tell you, the fact that I could even wake up in the morning is – we won the cup in 94. I don't know about you, Jim, but it would be a struggle if we lost Game 7 in that year. It's very important to have that nostalgia. I don't know who this clown is, but don't call back.
I think Mike's referring to Tim.
Was it Tim that may have been? I don't remember.
I think it was Tim that called up a couple weeks ago and said, you know, we dwell on – Ranger fans in general dwell a little too much on 1994. And, you know, he's more worried about getting the power play going. And I understand what he's saying from the standpoint that, you know, Mike, I think it's okay if we as fans want to talk about it. I mean, I'll talk about 1994 – I'll do a week of shows about 1994. We'll go game by game, and I'll tell you, you know, how it, you know, what it was like for me that night, each game. But I think the point that, if I may, I think the point that Tim was trying to make is that the Rangers as an organization are still living off 1994. And now we've got Messier in the rafters, we've got Leach in the rafters, we've got Richter in the rafters, and now most important to my heart, we have Adam Graves in the rafters. And as one of the New York writers put it at the time, with Adam Graves' jersey going to the rafters, the Rangers are all out of 1994. They're fresh out. And as he put it at the time, the Rangers might have to go win another cup now. So I think from that standpoint, it's okay, in my opinion, it's okay for us fans to, sure, we could dwell on it because, you know, that's, you know, for a lot of us, that's a June 14th, 1994 is a night most of us thought we'd never see. But the Rangers as an organization, you know, it's time for them to say, you know what, 1994 is over. It's 15 years ago. And you know, we need to start. Let's not have it go to 2048 and have another 54-year run because, quite frankly, I don't want to hear about the curse of 1994. And I, you know, when I'm 78 years old and hosting this show with Joe every week, because you know, I don't know if I could handle another 54 years again.
I mean, you can always look at teams like, you know, and the team that scares me the most is the Chicago Cubs, because there legitimately is groups of people who have lived and died and lived very full lives who never saw a championship. And the fact that we have been, I guess you can refer to it as lucky enough to see a Stanley Cup in the last 100 years, I see no reason why you shouldn't relish that. Obviously, talking about nothing but 1994 would obviously be a problem, but we didn't have too much positive things to look at the end of last season. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I completely agree with you, Jim. It's something that you know, I would have no problem talking about. I mean, I may have been six at the time, but I can remember all the games, and I watched all of them. And, I mean, I guess there is a way that you can overdo it, but I really didn't see a problem with it.
Well, guess what? You know, that guy should have said that, and I don't believe what you're saying. I think he had malice aforethought and the whole thing. I think
malice
he just really wants to... yeah, I'm speaking British again. You know, it's credibility. And
malice aforethought.
Yeah, he was
guys,
all over that. He was.
You guys
in
the chat room, that's your phrase for this evening. Malice aforethought.
Malice, yes, yes. Highlight that. By the way, my heart bleeds for the Cubs. Go Black Cats.
Put a circle around that one, as Howie Rose would say.
Anyway, yeah, let's get past that. Two things. Actually, one thing before I get to Jared. Oh, by the way, Joe, you got the greatest name in sports radio since Larry Gatos over in Phoenix.
Yes.
Joe Fortunato is a fantastic sports radio name. I mean,
I completely agree with you.
You gotta if you're gonna say it right, you gotta say it like the mouth. Joe Fortunato.
It's true. It's unbelievable. And you were born with that name. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I changed it at 18, just figuring that I'd join up with Jim.
Are you trying to tell me that Jim Schmiedeberg is not a great radio name?
No, that's holy.
It's a fantastic radio name.
Thank you, Joe. Schmiedeberg? Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe, who I know 3 months as opposed to the man I know 10 years. Thank you, Joe. All right,
hey, well, Mike.
What,
by the way, I'm Mike Furkey, which is not the greatest radio name of all time either. But we have to live with it. We have to live with our demons. You had a comment about I think it's a burning topic in a way, the schedule, which has changed. And I think it's a welcome change. If you've noticed, the Rangers have had a very front-loaded schedule. We have played at least 5 more games by the time 25 games have played, 30 games have played, than anybody else in the NHL. And we're usually, you know, we're pretty good in the early half. You know, we get on a roll, but eventually we get tired. And, you know,
it's those pesky last 40 games of the season that always get us.
And I think it might be part of the scheduling. I mean, what do you think about that?
I said it when we opened up the schedule that for whatever reason, we always seem to have more games in hand than everyone else. And I absolutely hate looking at the schedule and seeing that we're, you know, 4 games over 500 or 5 games over 500 or we're first in the Atlantic Division, but the Devils have 6 games in hand. So,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
For whatever reason, it seems to be a situation that happens every single year. And I don't know, I mean, I can understand it happening every 4 years because obviously with the Olympics coming up, they have to compress schedules. But why it happens to the Rangers, I mean, Jim said it. First of all, the Rangers don't have more than 3 games in a row at home at all at any point during the season. And they have no more than 5 days off. And they have that once, and then they have like 2-4 days off. And then it's just like back-to-back-to-back games.
And just as a reference point to make help Mike make his point, when the Rangers in October they play 14 games in 28 days, and then in November real quick 13 games in 30 days. So yes, once again they do get off to a pretty hectic start. I honestly don't know why. You know, my first instinct was to blame the circus. But, you know, the schedule through March is pretty even nowadays. It's not like it used to be. So I don't know what the reasoning is.
I can't figure it out. It's been that way for years. And we start off fast and we end terrible. I mean, it's just an ongoing thing. You know, I see the Rangers in first place after 20 games, and I'm like, yeah, big deal. You know, it just doesn't matter. I know what's going to happen.
They have 19 games at hand against everybody. At that point.
I know. It's like, oh, yeah, we're 6 points up, and the Devils have, like, 5 games in hand. And, you know, it's just it makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
and hopefully that's going to change.
Did you have a – Mike, did you have a comment on the Zverev before
about Zverev. I really think we did the right thing passing on this guy. The issue I have probably is the arbitration system. We gave this guy a $3.25 million qualifier, and we know he's going to obviously up that. And I guess he upped it somewhat reasonably, not crazy. But somehow I feel that if he said, you know, my back offer is $10 million, the arbitrator is going to come back and say he's going to split the difference, and you're going to owe him $7 million. And that's what it seems the arbitrators do. It's like they don't look at the big picture. I know the guy had 23, 24 goals, which is, you know, decent. But the guy disappeared during the season at certain times. He certainly disappeared during the playoffs. And they don't take that into consideration. I mean, do these arbitrators take a correspondence course in what they do, or what's going on? Tell me.
Well, I think what they do is they take a look at the situation at hand, and basically what happens is they say, you know, Zverev and his agent stand up, and he goes, look, I had 23 goals, okay? I didn't do anything in the postseason. I didn't do anything in the latter half of the year, but it was mainly because, you know, Tortorella brought in a new style. I wasn't used to it. I wasn't ready. If you put me in a high-octane system every single game of the season, I would have scored more than 60. I would have had more than 60 points. And what the Rangers are saying is, because basically what happens is both sides, they fight. It literally is court. Both sides fight. And the Rangers go, you didn't score any points in the postseason. You were out in the final, you know, in the final 10 games of the season, you only put up 1 point. And when you think about Zverev's argument, which is it was a new system, I wasn't ready, under Tom Rennie's system, I wasn't worked as hard. It makes sense. And an arbitrator will look at that and say, next year, Zverev will do better. Zverev is a 60-point goal, a 60-point scorer, 23 goals. $4 million is market value for a guy with that talent. So, I mean, I don't think they split it directly in the middle. I think that, you know, what both sides put up as their salary should be kind of makes sense that it's in the middle, but for the most part, I think an arbitrator looks at it and says, Zverev could have done better in a more offensive system, and they look at the market, and market value for a guy like Zverev, cheap, by the way, is $4 million.
Yeah, it seems ridiculous to me, because he didn't come through. It's all about he could have, but what about what he should have? And don't tell me about, oh, he's in a new system. Give me a break. Jágr came in here with a new – I know he's a superstar and whatever. But by the way, Zverev was supposed to replace Jágr. He's the new Jágr, which is ridiculous. No, I can't figure it out. I think it's more it's too much player-weighted in the salary cap system. I could see it in baseball. There's no salary cap. I get the arbitration system. But as far as hockey's concerned – even as far as maybe basketball is concerned, certainly as far as football is concerned. I mean, this system, to me, is ridiculous. What do you think about that?
Well, I would agree with you to a certain extent, but unfortunately it is what it is, and it's not something that the players are ever going to relinquish that right. So, unfortunately, it's just something we're going to have to live with. You know, like you said, the baseball arbitration is a little different because there's no salary cap. But as far as trying to figure out what Zverev, you know, what his potential could be, you know, there's no way of knowing that. Somebody made a point on the boards the other day, and I kind of went after him pretty hard. He said that Zverev just needs the proper coaching. And my answer to that was, well, he's been coached by two Stanley Cup winning coaches. What would you consider the proper coaching? I mean, do we have to bring Scotty Bowman out of retirement? Do we have to dig up the ghost of Fred Shiro to come back and coach Nikolai Zverev? But, Mike, we're going to move on. Our phones are lit up. I appreciate you calling, as always, and hopefully we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, if I sounded in, I guess you know this term, ill humor, so be it. Like Nick Petillo into the board.
That's just the way we like you, Mike. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, buddy.
Bye, Mike. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
The always animated Mike from Howard Beach. Joe, the phones are lit up. We've got a solid...
I've started some controversy in the chat, which is probably why one of them is there.
Good. Well, let's right now we're going to go to 305 area code, which is my neck of the woods. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Hi, this is Bob calling from Miami.
Hi, Bob from Miami. How you doing?
Listen, I want to number one, thank you so much for you guys on the show, because down here you don't hear about hockey.
That's absolutely true, Bob. For those of you that don't know, I'm in South Florida as well, Bob. I live about 30 miles north of you, and hockey talk is few and far between here. We're glad we could provide it for you. So what's on your mind tonight?
Well, the thing that always fascinates me is we have really one superstar on the team. Without Gabby, the new guy, and that's Lundqvist. And yet, with Lundqvist, and ever since Bukubun left, we have not had a physical defenseman. And if if that's what our star is, you should be protecting him first. And all the crazy moves that go up and down, and nobody understands what Sather has done, will do, and why he does them, because he never tells anyone. But the point is, there was no physical defenseman. There wasn't even one really close in the system, unless you figure Sora from New Haven is going to make it. So is there anybody that has a clue why we don't have a physical defenseman?
Bob, you ask a great question, and you ask a question that I have been asking for years, and not even for Henrik Lundqvist. The lesser goalies than Henrik Lundqvist haven't had that big physical defenseman. The Rangers really haven't had one since Ulf Samuelsson.
Right.
And I really think that's something you absolutely have to have, because otherwise a guy like your top scorers in the league, they're not afraid to drive to the net if nobody's going to make them pay for it. And right now the Rangers don't have anybody to make them pay for it. The Rangers have some very nice defensemen, but I don't think they have that one guy that just makes a forward say, oh, crap, I got to be careful in the crease or else I'm going to get plowed. Now, that's not to say I don't think that Mark Stahl might not become that guy, but he's not there yet. You're talking about a big slab of meat on skates that's just going to administer discipline to anybody that comes near the goaltender, and that's something the Rangers have needed for, I guess, Olfie, that's probably 10 years now since they've had Samuelsson. I was really hoping the Rangers would take a run at Komisarek when he was a free agent.
Yep.
I thought he would have fit in very nicely. He would have done the job. And he's from Long Island, and the Islander fans were clamoring for him. And I just figured it would have been a nice added bonus to really piss off the Islander fans if he'd have signed with the Rangers. And in retrospect, that would have been a real nice fit because he's really good friends with Chris Higgins. But it didn't happen. So the Rangers will go into this season, it looks like, again, without that big hulking defenseman. And like I said, I think Stahl could be that guy. I just don't think he's there yet. Joe,
well, that's what I was going to say, which was that if you all remember in the postseason and against Washington, I can tell you that at all three home games that I was at, which was incidentally the only ones that they played, Stahl laid the wood on Ovechkin at least once a game. I'm talking beautiful, open ice, stand-up, knock-him-on-his-ass hits when he was coming into the zone. I think that, guys, remember, Stahl is 20 years old. He has years to develop. Right now, he is the Rangers' best defensive defenseman, without a question. And he can be that Chris Pronger type of guy. He showed the numbers in the minors that he could put more of an offensive spin on things. But if you look at him, he has all of the makings of a bone-crushing defenseman, aside from the girth. He's tall enough, he's not heavy enough, but he's 20 years old. He will put on more muscle, he will get heavier as he grows older. But for now, I have never seen prettier hits than the ones he laid on Ovechkin, and I can only assume that more of them are coming. Because don't forget, in the Rennie system, everyone came back to help. So if everyone's coming back, then Stahl's all the way back to the net. In the Tortorella system, Stahl plays more up so he can hit those guys at the blue line instead of letting them come to him. I think he's going to be a lot more – he's not an Orpik right now, but he's getting there. Will he ever be that great? I don't know if he'll ever be that big, that bone-crushing, but for now, I definitely would take him.
I agree. I think the up-tempo system is going to help his offensive numbers. I don't think we're ever going to see – I don't think we'll ever see Brian Leetch or even Sergei Zubov numbers out of him, but I think we'll see decent offensive numbers that we'll be able to live with. Bob, anything else on your mind?
Yeah, well, you see, that's the second half of my thought. Then I'll leave you guys alone because you do an excellent job.
We love having you.
Lost down here in the ocean in the sun. If you're not into college football, you're dead.
Right. That's absolutely true.
But the other point is, this year everything is on Tortorella. Everything is on his back. If he is not the Messiah, we're dead again. And that's that may be because I know that we got a lot of young guys coming up in the system. We always have young people coming up. They don't seem to go up to the next level, but that's the Rangers.
Bob makes a great point because not only, Tortorella coming in and this is all on him now, but the Rangers have gone, I think, out of their way to remake this team in his image. And if this doesn't work, then, we're dead in the water again, just like Bob said. But, Bob, we're going to let you go. I really appreciate you calling, and I hope you'll join us again next Wednesday night. And as a fellow South Floridian, we need some rain. Bad.
Oh, God. But you're down here in Miami, it only rains at night.
We're not getting rain at night or daytime or anything. I think it was 96 degrees up here today.
Listen, I don't need the air conditioning. You know what that means. All
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob. Have a great
welcome.
Night.
Thanks for calling, Bob.
Right up. Bye.
All right, Joe, should we take another phone call here?
Let's do it.
All right, we got, let's see, we have... 631 area code. You are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's Tim.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Hey.
What did Mike think? I wasn't listening?
No, I think he thought you were listening.
I'm sure he thought you were listening.
Tell Mike to buy a car, and he won't have to spend 3 hours getting to work.
Yeah, but if you live in Howard Beach, it'll take you just as long to get around by car as it would on the subway. But that's neither here nor there.
That's true. Come on. Anyhow, I think you stood up for me pretty well. That's what I was trying to convey last week.
I wasn't so much standing up for you as I was voicing my own opinion as well. I just I think. Like I said, we as fans, we could talk 1994 till we're blue in the face because we have no bearing on what goes on otherwise. So
right.
We're not hurting. We're not slowing down progress by talking about 1994.
Right.
But when the Rangers continually bring out players for retirement ceremonies and they keep bringing down the cup and playing Carmina Burana and showing the banner and the highlights and Mateau, it's like I understand what you're saying. It's time to move on and let's make some new memories. Let's allow some new fans to die in peace.
That's exactly my point.
Okay.
I mean, when I said forget 94, I'm looking for somebody to run the power play. Obviously, I loved Messier and the guys, and I wouldn't be calling you every week if I didn't. But I want to win the cup this year, not talk about 94. We still need somebody to run the power play. We still need a first-line center. We let Zverev go for nothing, so we got rid of Tootin for nothing. They're talking about Grachev. How do I know he's even going to make the team? Anisimov, how do I know he's going to make the team? So what are we going to do?
I think Anisimov is going to be given every opportunity to make the team. I think it's going to come down to he's going to have to come in and just completely screw up in camp to not make the team. But the other question is, it's going to be his first full season in the NHL. What can you really expect out of the guy? And
exactly.
the same thing goes for Grachev. Now, when back in March and April, when we talked about Grachev and everything you read about Grachev, you would hear another year, maybe 2 years. But the as this summer has gone on, it's starting to sound a little more like he's also going to be given a pretty fair opportunity to make the team. Now, whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know, but it sounds like the possibility is there more than I thought it was a couple of months ago. Joe, anything? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that Tortorella has made it abundantly clear that this is not going to be the team that it was under Tom Rennie, which was essentially Tom Rennie had 100% trust for his veterans, and he went to his veterans no matter what. What John Tortorella is I have go-to guys, and you earn your ice time not by how old you are, not by how many cups you've won, but by what you're doing for me, and work ethic takes it all. And unfortunately for the Rangers in past years, generally kids have more heart and more desire than seasoned veterans do. So I think that when you look at it, Grachev will be given a chance to make the team. I'd like to see him start the year in the AHL. I really would. You know, Jeff gave a great metaphor about it, and he said that, you know, if you think about the NHL like 75 miles per hour, the AHL is 65 miles per hour, the OHL is 55 miles per hour, college is, you know, 45 miles per hour. So when you think about it, he needs that extra step. I don't know if he's there yet. He very well could be. But, I mean, I also, you know, the Islanders are bringing Tavares up right from the OHL, and I don't know if that's the best thing for a player. I think that it's better for them to develop a little bit, and Grachev is 18 years old. So if he stays a year in the minors, he'll be 19 years old when he comes to the Rangers. So I wouldn't expect Grachev, but I will expect Tortorella to give him 100% of a chance to make this team. And if he comes out, you know, skates a-blazing in camp, he'll make the team. Tortorella doesn't care. He'll make the team, and then, you know, we'll have something else to talk about. But I don't think he'll make it.
What do you think? What's the deal with Dubinsky, by the way? How come he's still floating around in space?
We were going to get into Dubinsky in a few minutes, but my thinking on Dubinsky, and I think Joe agrees, we've discussed this a few times, I think the Rangers were just kind of waiting out the Zhirinov situation. They've been in talks with Dubinsky's representatives. Things are starting to heat up, and I'm not worried about it. I wouldn't be surprised if he signed very soon, maybe even within the next week. Who knows? I think it's close.
So you think maybe we have another player coming then still, or no? You think they're just going to bring up the kids?
I think they may have another trade in them, but, you know, I'm not sure. We kind of fooled around looking at the cap today, and Joe and I were trying to figure a few moves and how much cap room they had, and we'll talk about that in a little while as well. But there is cap room to be had. There's not a lot of cap room to be had, but there is some money they could spend, I think. It's just a question of, you know, who's going to be in Hartford, guys like Boros and Reese Miller, and who's going to make the team. Gilroy, you know. So, and Joe, one thing about you were talking about Tavares. One difference between Tavares and Grachev is the Islanders got to sell those tickets. They can't afford a year of Tavares in the AHL because there'll be 3,000 people out at the mausoleum unless the Rangers are in town.
Well, I'll tell you something. My son plays hockey at Iceworks where the Islanders practice, and word around the rink is he's been unimpressive so far. Which
really,
you know, yeah, I'm talking about among Islander people because we go there in Ranger jerseys every week and skate around. It's kind of funny to see actually, but. You know, I'm sure I'll be fine. Everybody in hockey can't be wrong, but so far it's maybe it's just nerves.
Well, and there you are. I mean, another thing is that when you think about it, Tavares, the Islanders won the draft lottery in probably the worst year for them to. I mean, Tavares isn't even a can't miss prospect, Stamkos, that if Stamkos was in this year's draft, Stamkos would have blown Tavares out of the water. And if you talk to anyone who knows their prospects, they will tell you that the Islanders probably may, you know, obviously you have to take Tavares, like Jim said, you have to fill the seats. But if you're looking to win games, Hedman, you know, there's plenty of goal scorers out there. There are not many Chris Prongers out there. And by that I mean a bone-crushing defenseman who will also quarterback your power play. You know, what Redden was supposed to be, what he wasn't. So when you think about it, the Islanders got caught in a rock and a hard place. And while Tavares is it, and I'm not saying he was not an unbelievable player in the OHL, I am not saying that he will not be a good player in the NHL. What I am saying is that his production declined every year of the OHL, and all of his goals are dirty goals scored from right around the net. And in the NHL, he's going to get his ass knocked on the ice before he can score. So for me, you know, Tavares, while a great pick, and he's going to, you know, bring fans and everything, I don't know if it's going to turn out to be instant success like everyone thinks it will.
Well,
all right, guys. Well, thanks.
All right, Tim, thank you.
I'll talk
appreciate
to you next week, I'm sure. Have a good night.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Tim.
Bye-bye.
You know, the thing about Tavares, and we've talked about this 100 times, but, you know, Tavares was the fans' choice. They already had the T-shirts made up out on the island. They already had people walking around Long Island with the jerseys on, Joe. You know, I think in their heart of hearts, if the Islanders could have made their pick without fan backlash, they would have went with Matt Duchene. Matt Duchene would have been more suited to build a team around. But they had to. They didn't. In the end, the fans gave them no choice out there. They want to build their lighthouse. They're going to have a brand new arena. Everything's going to be wonderful. They had the big rally yesterday, but you know, who knows? Maybe that the Kansas City Drylanders maybe in the future.
But why would you let a fan base who? And again, we can talk about this forever. But what irks me is why do you let a fan base who they had more people come to the draft viewing party than they had come to actual games? Why would you let them dictate anything? Because as soon as Tavares flops, as soon as he doesn't do what they expect him to, they're going to be gone again. And at least with Duchene or at least with Hedman, you would get a team that would be a little bit more respectful. But it's just an opinion. Again, we know nothing. You know, obviously I can't see into the future, and hindsight is 20/20, but it's just an opinion.
I agree. They want to build that lighthouse. Anyway, let's get another call on the air. And a couple of people have been holding, and I think somebody dropped off. I hope you didn't get tired of holding. I apologize. We get to you guys just as fast as we can. So let's go to the 917 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this? Hello? 917 area code. You're on the air.
Jimmy, go ahead.
Hello?
Say, Jim.
Hello? 917 area code, are you there?
Tata.
Steva Tata.
Okay. I don't know. 917 area code, if you can hear us, we're call back. We'll get to you. We'll put you right back up. But anyway, Joe, moving on. You know, I guess Tim was asking about Dubinsky. And, you know, like I said, I think they were just waiting to see how the Sheridev thing shook out. And now that it has, I think Dubinsky will be signed pretty quickly.
Yeah, I do too. I think they wanted to see exactly how much you know, money they would have to spend. I don't forget that Stahl and Girardi are restricted free agents next year. If Dubinsky signs a one-year deal, then he's restricted free agent last year. And the Rangers have kind of tied up a lot of cap. So maybe, you know, Glenn Sater is looking... Not our Rangers?
Not
our, no. They never do that.
Not our fiscally responsible Rangers.
So, I mean, well, I guess we'll see. But I agree with you. I think that the Rangers were waiting for Dubinsky to, you know, are waiting for Sheridan's arbitration to end. And even once that's out of the way, now the only thing they can do is focus on Dubinsky. And like we said last week, if 2 weeks from last week we're still talking, so if next week we're still talking about where's Dubinsky, I think we have a problem. But for right now, no need to panic. You know, a lot of people are reporting, inner circles are reporting, that talks are heating up. So I'd say expect him signed within the week, but, you know, you never know.
I'm still not worried about it. we got open phone lines. If you guys want to call in, number 646-478-4692. It's Blue Shirt Banner Radio from BlueShirtBanner.com. Joe, as another thing, you know, we haven't talked much about Sean Avery.
Yeah, we haven't. Really, it's surprising.
And, yeah, considering that up until the season ended, he was pretty much all Ranger fans wanted to talk about. But I guess we've been concerned with some other things. And I bring him up because we put that video up on the website today. And I thought it was interesting to watch. I just thought we were seeing a more comfortable, very composed Sean Avery. And I think he looks to me like he's ready to assume more of a leadership role. I think you're going to see a little more out of that, Sean Avery this year. He just looked a little more determined, and I just think that, and I don't know, maybe just the changes that they've made and the talks that he's had with Tortorella, and maybe he's comfortable in his role. He says he loves playing for Tortorella. He knows what's expected of him. And I'm excited to see what he can do in a full season, you know, in this system. But the one thing that concerns me a little bit about Avery, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree, is that to me last season, after Sean Avery found his game, when he got his legs under him and he got comfortable, he seemed to click best when playing with Scott Gomez. They were, and I know Mouth is going to love me using this term, they were a high-energy line. They created a lot of scoring chances, just not a lot of goals. But I thought that Scott Gomez was the player that Avery looked most comfortable with. Do you think that Gomez not being there anymore, do you think that'll have any kind of effect on Avery? What do you think?
No, here's what happens with Sean Avery. I'm going to answer the first part of your statement first, and then I'll get to Gomez. I think why Sean Avery is so different is because, we'll start with this. He has his cake, and he can eat it too. He's playing in a city that glorifies him. For whatever reason, he works in New York. He loves the media. He loves New York. That's fine. And he's getting his money. He might only be a $1.9 million cap hit for the Rangers, but Dallas is paying the other $1.9 million. So he has the contract he wants, and he's playing where he wants. And he knows that this is his last chance in hockey. If he doesn't make it in New York, no other team is going to be crazy enough to take him. And, you know, maybe the Rangers shouldn't have been crazy enough to take him. I've always liked him. I've always loved what he's brought to the game. And to me, he knows that this is his last chance. He loves New York. This is why he wants to stay. Now, for the other part of your question...
You don't think the Devils would take?
No, well, maybe. You know, him and Brodeur are friends, I hear.
Well, yeah, but if they were on the same team, he couldn't bother Brodeur, right? He couldn't get in his face, couldn't, you know, kick the snow up at him.
He might still screen him, even though they're on the same team. But when it comes to playing with Gomez, I think that Gomez showed Avery off because Avery has a set of hands on him that people don't seem to realize. And he can definitely score goals, and he can score from anywhere on the ice. And that's what makes people so mad is that, you know, you want to be mad at him, you want to say, oh, he's nothing but a thug, but he can score 20 goals a year. So what happens is Gomez, obviously, he was the most gifted playmaker on the team, so Avery was showcased by Gomez. I think that he played best with Gomez because Gomez could set him up and put him in a position where he could score. I don't think it's going to be as much of a problem this year. I think that there are plenty of guys who can pass the puck around, but for me, I think Gomez worked out best with Avery because he could pass him the puck. And Avery can score. It's not like, oh, Avery can't score, but now all of a sudden Gomez is passing him the puck, and now he can, more so than Gomez is a very gifted playmaker, and Avery does have a set of hands on him.
Joe, where does the time go? We're already halfway through the show.
We're having fun.
It goes so fast. We love talking about the Rangers with you guys, and we have a blast doing this. So let's get another caller on. We got a couple of callers on hold. I believe this is the infamous Paulie D. Paulie, are you there?
No, guys, what's going on?
Here's Paulie. Hi, Paulie. How are you tonight?
Hey, man. Great show, like always. I always enjoy listening to everybody banter around. Joe, I got to tell you, you're as funny as Mouth. I got to ask you this question. with everything you just said about Sean Avery, why would you not think Todd Bertuzzi would be a perfect fit for this hockey club?
Okay, here. Let me explain this to all of you. We're in the chat room in Blog Talk Radio, and Paulie D had mentioned signing Todd Bertuzzi, and I was a very, very enthusiastic no. And here's why. You have cap space that you want to use, and the team is obviously going in a much younger direction. Bertuzzi's not young, and he had a pretty good year on the Flames, because for a lot of the power play, he was playing with Jerome Iginla and Camilleri, who both had really good years, and then towards the end, Jokinen. Bertuzzi's older. We don't need another old guy who can drop the gloves, because we have Brashear and we have Avery, and, you know, hopefully Girardi and Staal will fight a little bit more. I don't see Bertuzzi bringing anything special to the table. I really don't. And I think that at the end of the day, the Rangers can use whatever cap they don't spend on him and use it somewhere else at the trading deadline. I think that there will be plenty of instigation with, you know, Avery calling a guy an idiot, the guy getting mad, and then Brashear knocking his teeth onto the ice. So I don't know what you think, Paulie D. I don't see the need for Todd Bertuzzi.
You know what? I would agree with you, but I think we are putting a lot of stock in Brashear. Listen, he throws the gloves down, he fights, he's off for 5 minutes, probably going to take a 10-minute misconduct somewhere along the road. And then who do we have, my friend? We have nobody. And just like you said, against Washington last year, I thought we got beat up so bad physically everywhere on the ice, in the defensive zone, in the offensive zone. We got knocked around like a bunch of rag dolls, and I am so sorry of seeing it. We don't have the defense for it. We got two major spots open in defense that we're probably going to wind up going with Gilroy and maybe Sauer, maybe Potter, who knows, but you got two rookies there. You got really nobody who can really drop the gloves, because Avery is a middleweight. He's not a heavyweight. Todd Bertuzzi can drive to the net on the power play, can drive to the net. He can stick up for his teammates, and he's real cheap. Isn't he 1.9?
Well, he was 1.9, but you have no idea what he'll sign for now. And with Glenn Sather in control, he will sign for 12.9 somehow. And I think
we can't assume that. And I have to say, I'm glad we didn't do anything with Jerdoff. Jerdoff was Houdini for us.
To finish what you said about Bertuzzi, don't forget about, what's his first name? Brian?
Boyle?
Is it Brian Boyle? Brian Boyle is, all right, here's a story on him for those of you that don't know. He played for the Kings, and he was a first-round draft pick. And the Kings needed defensive help at the time. So he was fresh out of college as a very gifted playmaking center, and they moved him to defense in the AHL. And that's why his numbers are so bad, and that's why he didn't work out. I see him with tons of upside. But besides the fact, he kills people. He doesn't care. And the best part about him is he doesn't come into the garden with a wheelchair like Bertuzzi does. He can stand on his own two legs because he's not 53 years old. So for me,
Bertuzzi's only 34.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
I'm older than Bertuzzi. I'm not in a wheelchair.
Jim, but in hockey years, 34 is like 52.
What's he? He's about 255?
Who?
He's about 6'6", 255, isn't he?
Bertuzzi or Boyle?
I got it right here.
Bertuzzi is a big guy. 6'3",
245.
Okay.
44 points last season, 16 of them on the power play.
44 points, and how many games did he play? 60 games?
66 games.
Okay, now that's some pretty damn good numbers right there.
Yeah, but he was also playing with Iginla. He was playing with Camilleri. He was playing with Kinnock. I could put up 16 points on that power play.
You wouldn't
play
compare
with my
Jerome and Gabrick in the same. I mean, they're both going to put up points.
Yeah, but Jerome is a much more gifted. I'd say that Jerome Iginla
He's definitely more physically. He will score some garbage goals, but I don't know about gifted. I think Gabrick's got much better hands than Jerome does.
If I could finish, I was going to say much more. I think he's a much more gifted playmaker. I think Gabrick is obviously the better scorer, but from my standpoint, I think Iginla can dish the puck a little better than Gabrick can.
I don't know. Tell you what, I'm going to leave you be, Jim. I know you probably got 1,000 calls, but I tell you what, I think Bertuzzi would be a good. I think he'd be a good fit for what we're looking for. What we need out of him, someone who can stick up for his teammates, drive the net, and the other thing is, I mean, he's pretty damn good in the corners. He's a tough guy, you know, in the corners to getting the puck away from. Or, you know, that's the other thing we don't have. We don't have a lot of big physical forwards.
I'll tell you this, Paulie D, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, and I wouldn't look at the computer and, you know, have these incredible writhing pains in my stomach like when Redden was signed. But
right.
I don't see the need for him, but if they signed him, he would fit. He would be a pretty good addition, but I don't need him.
Now, according to the fourth period, the Flyers are believed to be interested in him. As well as, and supposedly he is mulling offers from three Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say which ones.
He made
$1.95 million last season, and if I understand this correctly, I believe there's a typo here. I'm thinking that they're saying his salary should inch closer to the $2.2 million range.
Okay. Let me throw this one more thing out at you. That was the last thing I wanted to add. Being in the East where we are, I mean, there's no doubt. We probably have one of the most tough physical divisions there are. I mean, we got to play the Capitals. We got to play the Flyers. We got to play the Devils always give us a hard time for some godforsaken reason. It's very physical in the East where we are. And I just don't think that we have the physical capabilities, besides the fact, and let's not even talk about defense because my brother said it already. I mean, we don't have a smash-mouth defenseman, which is one of our biggest problems in the world. And we really don't have anybody smash-mouth up front who's just tenacious, ugly, and nasty. We have no ugliness on our hockey club that is going to play game in and game out. And I don't want to talk about Brashear because and I really hope Brian Boyle does pan out, but what is he? He's going to be on the fourth line. He's going to get 6 minutes a game tops.
If he's lucky.
I mean, we need Crash. You know, and I love Avery, and that's why Ranger fans love the man, because at 190 pounds, he runs around and tries to knock everybody's teeth out. But it just doesn't get it done, and I honestly feel the Rangers did not move up. They've moved, if anything, back and lateral. They have not improved this hockey club, and I feel bad for Tortorella because he's a good coach and he's what we're looking for. He doesn't have the personnel, guys. I'm sorry. It's just how I feel. I'm a passionate fan, and looking at the lineup, I could be dead wrong, and I said this on my show. I said I hope I'm dead wrong. The year Sather, you know, dumped Brian Leetch and everything else, and the next year I came back and I saw names like Jed Ortmeyer and Jason Ward and Dominic Moore, and I'm like, oh my God, what kind of team are we going to have? And we actually had the first team that made the playoffs in a million years. So I hope I'm wrong, but looking at this team on paper, it scares me. I think everybody's going to match up well against Gavrik. He's going to face all the top defensive lineups in the league. And, I mean, Gavrik, you know, he don't have the size Jágr did. Jágr had a tough enough time, and he was, what, 245? I mean, it was hard to get
But Jágr was the only player on that team who could score. I mean, if you're going to shadow Brashear, Gabarek, then, you know, you have Higgins, you have Kotelik, God willing, Callahan and Dubinsky open. I mean, I'd have to say that, you know, obviously Gabarek is going to go up against, you know, elite defensemen, but he is an elite sniper. And I'd put Gabarek against any defensive pairing in the league, and I guarantee you he scores goals.
And you know what? I'm not going to disagree with you with that. I definitely feel that way. But in the East, you will see better defensive matchups against him. And, you know, again, the other thing you said is funny. When you said Kotelik, you said God willing. You know, we're all sitting on hopes that Callahan's going to score 30 goals. Dubinsky's going to score 25. And who knows where, you know, Drury's going to be. We're all crossing our fingers and scratching our heads saying, well, if they have great years, we could be a good team. I mean, honestly, in this forum, let's talk it out. Do you really think we have a Stanley Cup team in front of us right now? Not yet. You look at this roster and say, wow, we got a team.
I think I completely agree, and I was going to get onto this before, but Jim, can I rant now or no? Do we have to wait for the other, for the Brooks article?
Sorry, Jim.
That's okay. That's okay. If you want to go ahead, Joe.
Well, no, it's okay. I can wait. I can just sit and mull it over.
Well, Paulie, we're gonna move on. We got a couple of we want to get to, and we're down to a half hour already.
Hey, stop by the show, and I'll be listening, and I'll stay in the chat room and tell you guys, you know, I'll keep writing here.
All right, thanks, Paulie. As always, the ever opinionated
Paulie D. I don't think he comes up for air when he talks.
he's a New York guy, but okay. So today, I don't know if everybody out there saw, but Larry Brooks did a article in the New York Post where he started off talking about how Glenn Sather made the right move letting Zverev go, and the article was entitled, you know, Sather gets the credit, and he basically just kind of duped everybody. If you read the article, you know, I thought, you know, here we go, we're going to actually get a little praise for Sather, who, you know, we've had this conversation before. I think he's done an okay job this summer, but you know, he spent the first half of the article praising him for getting rid of Zverev, and then just dropped a hammer and tore into him in the second half of the article. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about that. He said that Sather gets credit for letting Zverev go, that there was no point in overspending for Zverev just because you've overspent for other players. And he got on Sather's case for trading Korpikowski for Leeson, who he terms as a project. And as Joe, as we talked about before, we didn't see Korpikowski as being anything better than a second, the number three center, if that, in any time soon. So, you know, we really didn't have a problem with the deal. And Larry Brooks said the Rangers have no number one defenseman. Well, what is Mark Stahl? If he's not their number one defenseman, he'd have to be close, no? I mean, if every other team in the league that wants to make a deal with the Rangers, one of the first names they want is Mark Stahl. You know, and he's close to being as untouchable as anybody is on the Ranger roster. You know, so I can't see how he could just say the Rangers don't have a number one defenseman. I think Mark Stahl comes as close as anybody to fit in that bill. Joe, what do you think? There were some other points that Brooks made that we'll get into in a second, but I want to let you voice your opinion.
Well, I think that, you know, Brooks is so negative sometimes, and it gets to the point where, you know, when the Rangers are losing, obviously it's nice for someone to rant and you can read about it, but, you know, at this stage in the game, in the dog days of August, the season hasn't even started yet, and it's like he's writing them off. And when you really think about it, no number one defenseman. I'd put Rossi as a number one defenseman. I really would. A healthy Michael Roosevelt is a good defenseman. And, you know, is he worth the $5 million contract? It might be a little steep, but it would look a lot better if Redden wasn't around. It really would. And, you know, for him to say that, you know, we gave up Tootin and we got nothing, I you know, and the thing about Korpikowski, I know Tootin was good, but if you put Tootin on this team, I don't think he'd make the third team at best. And like you said with Korpikowski was never going to be more than third line winger or third line center. And to me, Lisson has more upside than Korpikowski does. So, I mean, again, it's just opinions, but I don't think Sather's done a bad. In fact, I think Sather's done a great job this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this. We've been over it, you know, probably on at least two shows. You know, mistakes have been made. I feel like a broken record here. Mistakes have been made. He's trying to correct them. What can you do? We can bitch about him all we want. We could do, you know, that's another topic. We could fill a month of shows, and everybody could just call in and tell us how much they hate Glenn Sather. But the bottom line is, the man's the GM and the president of the New York Rangers, and he's not going anywhere. We're just going to have
to. He really isn't. He is a job for life.
And the problem is, and I don't want to keep dwelling on the past, but it's necessary in this case. In 1994, when the Rangers did win the Cup, they had Mike Keenan as head coach, they had Neil Smith as the GM, and they had Bob Kutkowski was the president of the Garden. Neil Smith and Mike Keenan were both accountable to Bob Kutkowski. They had a boss. There was a chain of command. They both had to answer to Bob Kutkowski. After the 1994 season when they won the Cup, and the whole thing went down with Keenan and Smith where they could not coexist anymore, Bob Kutkowski was the one they had to answer to, and he was this close to firing them both. He had a plan in mind where he was going to fire them both and make John Davidson the GM. And they offered the GM job of the New York Rangers was offered to John Davidson, and he turned it down because he didn't want to. He felt like he would be screwing Neil Smith. But to make a long story short, the problem now is that Glenn Sather is the GM and the president of the Rangers, and he's not accountable to anybody. There is nobody. Glenn doesn't report to anybody. He is large and in charge. The Dolans, as long as the Dolans are making money, as long as the cash register keeps ringing, they don't care.
They really don't.
And, you know, hey, God bless them if they've got that much money that they don't give a crap what the hockey team's doing. You know, what can you do? But that is part of the problem with the structure of the team. You know, there is nobody. Glenn Sather isn't held accountable to anyone, and that's just the way it is, guys. You know, he is the GM, he is the president, he is the chief cook and bottle washer. Jim Schoenfeld, as assistant GM, I think he has a big say now in the moves the Rangers are making, because I think him and John Tortorella are very close to, if not on the same page. So I think that Jim Schoenfeld has a big say in the moves that are being made, in the image that this team is being remade in. Possibly, you know, is that possibly to be grooming him to someday be the GM of the Rangers? Well, I would say that's a decent possibility. But for right now, guys, Glenn Sather's what we have. It's what we have to deal with. And it's just it's counterproductive to just spend your day going, Glenn Sather sucks, we're screwed, Wade Redden's contract sucks, Chris Drury's paid too much money, because there's nothing we can do about it. Glenn Sather isn't going anywhere until Glenn Sather says so.
Yeah, and if you want any more proof of that, you could just think about things that the Dolans have said, and Jim Dolan has basically admitted, he said, you know, Glenn Sather is the general manager of this team, and, you know, no matter what happens, he's our guy, and we're sticking with him. And Glenn will be here as long as Glenn wants to be here. That's what he said. So if you truly hate Sather, and there are people there that do, and it's you know, it's justified, and there's a part of me that hates him too, but, I mean, don't act like he's not trying. He might be an idiot sometimes. He might make some terrible moves. It's not like he's not trying. And, you know, I agree with you, Jim. You're not going to get like planning is just, you know, I'm sure written letters to the Dolans, and I'm sure Dolan has heard the fire Sather chants that rained down. It's not going to happen. Sather will resign eventually, and that'll be that.
Because Joe, what's the bottom line? The bottom line is, can you get a ticket for a Ranger game? No, you can't. One of my best friends in the world, who hopefully is listening right now, his name is Brian, and he's up in Jersey, and he sent me a text message the other day. He tried to get a partial, like a 5-game plan, and there's just nothing available, and that's what matters. That's all that matters. The cash register keeps ringing, the seats are full, and they're spending money. And for those you guys that were listening that were in the chat room, it looks like the chat room just kind of took a dump on us, and I can't seem to get it up and going again, and I apologize.
And neither can I.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know if their server went down or whatever, but you know, all I can tell you is if you guys want to chat, jump over to blueshirtbanter.com and just use the Blue Shirt Banter radio thread. Use that as an open thread. It works just like our game threads. You don't have to refresh or anything. It's just like a live chat. So since we can't seem to get the chat going, just jump over to Blue Shirt Banter and you guys can chat in there. And we'll comment in there as well. We are down to 25 minutes to go in the show already, Joe.
We have a couple of important things we need to talk about. Yeah, we have a couple of important things we need to bring up.
Let's get this phone call on the line. He or she's been holding for a few minutes. 848 area code. You are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
It's Scott. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, Scott, how are you?
How are you, Scott?
Good. How you doing?
We're doing good. What's going on? What's on your mind tonight?
Just that Larry Brooks article really got to me today.
Yeah, I think it kind of, cheesed a bunch of us off. The funny thing is, and just give me a second, and I'll let you talk. We had Joe and I every Wednesday we put together during the day while I'm at work, time well spent. We put together the show outline of the things we're going to talk about, and I hadn't looked at the New York papers yet when I did the show outline, and I had everything lined up that we were going to talk about tonight, and then I caught the Larry Brooks article, and I was instant messaging with Joe, and I said, Joe, I said, forget the show outline. I just emailed you. I said, because it just got blown up. I said, you got to go read this story. And then we wound up getting into a whole conversation about it, and we actually want to talk, I'm hoping we can squeeze it in here. Man, an hour and a half goes so fast. We want to talk a little bit about the salary cap, and so we're going to try and do that. But why don't you give us your thoughts real quick on the Brooks article, and then we'll move on.
It's just, I don't know how he does it. Like, the guy, he gets such great information on the Rangers, but then puts them down at the drop of a pin. I don't know how this guy does it. I wish I had his job.
I got to be honest with you, and this is, I'll put my rant into a quick little nutshell for you, Jim. What he said in the article that really pissed me off was he referred to the Rangers as a horrible, you know, patchwork quilt that was just thrown. It was just thrown together unceremoniously. And
a mediocre, crazy quilt patchwork of players collected from outposts around the league.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And here's the thing for me. Last year, all Larry Brooks did was bitch and moan that there was no one to score goals. And Larry Brooks himself even said that the Rangers should go after Marian Gaborik. And he said the Rangers should lure Gaborik with a one-year, $4 million deal, because that would really happen. The Rangers have done everything they need to do to succeed. They've gotten a goal scorer. They have three guys in Callahan, Kotalik, and Higgins who should be able to score 20 goals. They have someone in Gaborik who could score 50 goals. They have guys like Dubinsky. They have guys like Avery. They have guys, hopefully, in Anisimov. You know, Gaborik can dish the puck. They have a couple of defensemen who can pass the puck. Who will get the puck to these goal scorers? What else do you want? I don't know where the line is drawn where Ranger fans just almost complain to complain. Everybody complained last year that Scott Gomez was horrible and we have to trade him. We trade him for a potential 30-goal scorer, and now all of a sudden we don't have enough people to set up. Well,
not just a 30-goal scorer, Joe. They also got their number one prospect, and they got two of their last five first-round draft picks. I mean, what more could you have? You couldn't have dreamed up a better trade
who are complaining, for those who think that this team is just thrown together and they're not going to do anything, I don't know where you just get these construed thoughts from, but give it a chance. You haven't even seen it, and everyone complained about last year. Forming this year, and now before they've even hit the ice, there's problems again. Just play the game. It's not even October 2nd yet, and people are already writing the season off.
Well, I think as Ranger fans, we Ranger fans definitely lean towards the pessimistic. That is without a doubt. And you know what, Joe? I think we're down to 20 minutes, and there are a couple other things that we need to get to tonight. So why don't we, the salary cap thing that we were going to do, I think that's going to be time consuming and not something we can fit in here.
That'll be for next week.
So why don't we save that for next week when we can devote some time to it. And we'll talk to you guys about it and tell you our thoughts on the Rangers salary cap, where the roster's at, the money that where it's going, and who we think might be on or off the roster. We'll put that aside for next Wednesday night show, as always, 7:30 to 9:00. So we'll save that. We do have a couple other things to get to. And I just want to put out there before I forget, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be joined on the show by Stephanie Bagley. She is an occasional writer for ESPN Magazine. She was on Mouth Show a couple weeks ago. You guys might have heard her. She's also a big-time Ranger fan.
Yeah.
She's done a story on Henrik Lundqvist and who's the other story she did, Joe?
Chris Higgins.
So she's going to join us in 2 weeks from tonight, and we'll talk a little Ranger hockey with her. And I also want to get into a little bit of the social media with her, the Twitter phenomenon, Facebook, and stuff like that. She's big on Twitter. I Twitter back and forth with her a little bit about some different things. So we'll talk about that. That's 2 weeks from tonight. Next week we'll do our salary cap thing. So okay, now that I've set that up, Scott, anything else on your mind tonight before we got to move on?
That was it. It was really the Larry Brooks thing. I was going to talk about the Dubinsky situation, but you guys got it exactly where I was going to hit with the whole Zverev thing. Wait till he's done, and I probably expect him to be signed within the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think so too. Scott, we're going to leave you on the line for a minute if you don't mind.
You need to be here for this.
We're going to keep you on the line for just a second. As you guys know, as we talked about at the top of the show, our tagline of covering the Rangers from Avery to Zverev became obsolete yesterday, and we took a bunch of your suggestions. You guys came through. I mean, there must have been, what, close to 150?
And some of them were very brilliant, and others were very, very brilliant, but there really was a couple of winners.
The great thing was is that they were all really funny. And some of them, they ranged from really, really funny and usable to completely inappropriate, but yet hysterically funny. I mean, there were so many of them that I just thought, man, I wish we could use this one, but boy, would we get a crap load of trouble for this one. So what we did was we narrowed it down to the seven or eight.
Top
I think
six,
it was,
yeah, top seven.
Ones that we liked the best. And we left it up to the readers. Like, we do a lot of things on the site with you guys. We like you guys to have a big say in what we do and how we do it. Joe and I already agreed on which one we like the best, and it looks like the readers agree. And we decided to make a little contest out of it. I have a brand-new Ranger hat that I'll supply to the winner. And, Scott, based on the votes and Joe and I's discussion, you are the winner.
Excellent.
Our new tagline is going to be Blue Shirt Banter covering the Rangers, the only NHL team with three home arenas. And the funny thing about that is that there was a time where Ranger fans, and I was one of them because I did this as well, used to invade the old Cap Center, which used to be in Landover, Maryland. It was a little bit easier of a drive than Washington, D.C. And that was often referred to as MSG South. So it was just funny that you put that up there with three home arenas. So that's going to be our new tagline we'll use that one. We'll run with that one for a while until we think it's time to change it up. So Scott, what I'm going to do is I will send you an email and I'll get your address from you and I'll get your hat to you. I'll send it out over the weekend.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Jim.
All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate everything you do for the site. And we want to thank everybody that contributed a tagline entry, and some of you had 20 or 30 of them. Trust me, guys, there were a lot of great ones. You all got, as always, you guys did a great job, and we really appreciate it. So, Scott, I'll be in touch. You'll hear from me, and thanks again for calling and being a part of the site, and have a good night.
You too. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay.
Yep.
So there you have it, Joe. Blue Shirt Banter. Covering the Rangers, the only team in the NHL with three home arenas. That is our new tagline. You know who else had a funny one, but it was Pop Loser. His was post a funny headline, get a free hat.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I thought that was a good one, and it only got one vote. I was surprised at that. I thought that Ranger sarcasm, the sarcasm of Ranger fans, I thought it would take over somewhat there, but it didn't. That lagged behind in the voting. So, let's see. We have about 15 minutes to go.
Yeah.
About 15 minutes to go. If you guys want to call in, I think losing our chat line kind of hurt us a little bit. I don't know who's listening, but if you want to call in, the phone number is 646-478-4692. We have open phone lines. If you guys want to call in, talk about whatever you guys want. If you want to comment on some of the things we've talked about. If you have something else you want to talk about, by all means, call in. We got about 15 minutes to go. So it looks like the last thing we want to talk about tonight, since we're going to put off the cap issue until next week's show, is I'm sure most of you are familiar with Beyond the Blue Shirts. That is a website. It's run by Lori Carr, And I believe her husband helps her out with that website occasionally as far as the translations go. Lori came up with a great angle for a website. What she does is instead of just being a website where you post Ranger news and opinion like we do, better than anyone I might add, she is able to find, because of her background, she's able to find these stories that no one else can find on these websites in Russia and the Ukraine, and because of her background, she's able to translate them. And it gives her the ability to put a lot of stories out there that no one else has. And you guys probably have seen, we link to Beyond the Blue Shirts quite often. We bring you stories. Lori was the first one that we saw that had the story up about Zubov going to the KHL. Right, Joe?
Yeah, she was definitely the first.
She was the one that found that story first and was able to translate it and get it up on her site. I'm trying to think. There have been a couple of stories like that she's kind of...
She's preliminary a Russian, you know, she preliminarily gets Russian news, and which is good because if you think about it, a lot of the controversy, especially with the KHL, and a lot of prospects and information comes through Russia because they are very hockey-oriented. So, you know, what she does is very unique because she brings to the table, you know, news that takes time to get traveled overseas. You know, while it's crossing the Atlantic, she translates it and gives us, you know, information and, you know, happenings before anyone else can get to it.
And it looks like the chat room might be coming back up. I don't know if you guys still want to jump in there for the last 15 minutes, but it looks like the chat room is back up. Let me just put this up on the banter real quick so that you guys know, you guys that are hanging out on Blue Shirt Banter. Oh. Would help if I type the whole thing. Anyway, so the chat room's back up. And again, if you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Getting back to Lori, and you've seen, we do it a lot. When Lori puts a story up, usually what we do is we put the story up, we'll put up a blurb about the story and just kind of give you the highlights of what it's about. And then we link you over to Beyond the Blue Shirts so you can read the rest of the story. Well, after a few conversations with Lori and just in talking to her as of today, actually, Lori will be joining the team at Blue Shirt Banter. And what she's going – basically what Lori's going to do is the same thing that we've been doing all along with her stories, but she'll do it faster. Because instead of Lori doing a story, putting it up on her site, and then – us seeing it when we have the opportunity to check her site or when I see her put it up on Twitter, and then we go and we find the story and we put it up on our site and we put a little link. What Lori's going to do for us is when she puts a story up on her site, she will immediately put it up on Blue Shirt Banter as well. And she'll do the same thing. She'll put a blurb up and then she'll direct you to her site to read the rest of the story, which is great. It's mutually beneficial. We'll have the great stories that Lori does, we'll have them sooner, and it'll also in turn direct you to Lori's site to see the rest of her stories.
Yeah, and so, what it does that's pretty brilliant is that when you come onto our site, whether or not you're looking for, you know, Ranger news or whether or not you're looking for NHL news or you're just stopping by, you know, you're going to get information quicker than even, I mean, I'd have to say that she gets stuff up quicker than TSN does, which is Canada's version of ESPN, so you know they're all hockey. She gets up stuff quicker than NHL.com. She gets up stuff quicker than I've seen on a lot of different mainstream hockey sites. So now you can find her stuff on Blue Shirt Banter, and, you know, make sure that you visit her site when you come on because she's not going to give you the full story on ours. You're going to have to go to hers for the full story. But like Jim said, you will now get breaking news on Blue Shirt Banter that you really can't get anywhere else aside from Beyond the Blue Shirts.
Oh, and Lori just jumped into the chat room.
She tweeted me and said she thought that she broke the chat because when she tried to register, it died completely.
Oh, no, I think Larry Brooks shut the chat room down, Joe. I think that's pretty obvious.
He may have. It's true.
It was either Larry Brooks or Glenn Sather. One of them shut down.
Stan Fischler. Stan Fischler could have done it.
Well, yeah, but we haven't talked bad about Stan tonight. We've laid off Stan. So anyway, that is the scoop on Beyond the Blue Shirts, and we are We are ecstatic that Lori is going to be joining us. We're very excited. She's also possibly going to bring us some KHL updates on that are related to the Rangers during the season, like the Rangers, I think it's seventh round draft pick, Mikhail Pashnin. I hope I said that right. If not, Lori can tell me. But he was the first round pick overall in the KHL draft, and he was the Rangers' seventh round pick. And he's going to play at least 1 year in the KHL, from what I understand. So, you know, when Lori has time, she'll be bringing us updates on those guys as well. Pavel Valentenko, who came over in the Gomez trade, he's another guy, Ranger property, that'll be playing in the KHL. So we're really excited about this. I think this is going to be a great partnership of our two sites, and we are really excited about it. And so you guys in the chat room, give Lori a nice round of applause, and make sure you give her a nice welcome to the site. And that's it. We're really excited about that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I saw somebody put in the chat room something about the Coyotes. It looks like a judge has ruled that the Blackberry King is allowed to bid on the Coyotes again. Did you see that, Joe? See that in the chat room?
I did. And what was going to happen is, from what I understand, and I'm not completely positive about this, it's going to be...
I just pulled up on the National Post. The bankruptcy judge, Redfield Baum, has ruled that Jim Balsillie and other qualified bidders will take part in the September 10th auction for the Phoenix Coyotes, leaving the door open for the Blackberry co-CEO in his pursuit of the bankrupt National Hockey League team. That Coyote situation is such a mess. I think everybody knows, I've mentioned it a couple of times on the site, I lived in Phoenix for 7 years. And when I lived in Phoenix, I went to a lot of Coyote games. They were right in the middle of downtown Phoenix. It was really easy to get to their games. They had $9 tickets that were obstructed view, but it was just a fun place to sit. There was a great atmosphere, which I never expected to find in Arizona for hockey. They had a lot of big time players. They had Roenick, they had Tkachuk, they had Teppo Newman, and they had Hobby Bulin. They were a fun team to watch. Jim Schoenfeld was the head coach, so I went to a lot of Coyotes games, and Rick Tocchet was on that team as well. So I kind of had a bit of a soft spot for the Coyotes, and moving them out to where they moved them, which is West Glendale. They are a good 20 miles away from where they were in downtown. So the way Phoenix is laid out was they were much more centrally located in downtown Phoenix. You had people, fans could come from Tempe, they could come from Mesa, and they could come from Glendale, and everybody could get there in 20 minutes, 30 minutes time. But if you live out in Tempe or Mesa, to get to that arena in Glendale, it's a good hour, hour and a half in Phoenix traffic, which is, if you've never been there, Phoenix traffic is just as bad as some of your other major cities. So it was a bad idea to move them out there, and it looks like hockey's dying very slowly out there, or very quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, I see that there is a city hockey fever who is pretty in the chat room adamant about keeping the Coyotes, and he's pretty upset with the Blackberry King, as we'll refer to him. But look, I got news for you. The NHL is looking at a couple of teams, and the Coyotes are one of them. The Islanders are another one of them that loses. And just loses and loses money hand over foot. I see no reason why, you know, and I feel bad for those of you that are fans for the Coyotes, but if he were to move this team theoretically to Hamilton, it would be a successful hockey market, and it would be a successful hockey team. And the NHL needs all the help it can get right now to be successful. And for those of you that are hockey fans, I think that, you know, the sacrifice of the Coyotes, and granted it's not my team, and granted, you know, I've never had to go through losing a hockey team. I think it would definitely be worth, you know, them to save hockey, because when you think about it, there are markets out there that are losing. I mean, they went bankrupt. A professional sports team should never go bankrupt. And to me, putting them into, you know, putting them into Hamilton, a group of people who clearly want a hockey team, they've already bought season tickets for a team that doesn't even exist, and the Coyotes can't even fill, you know, their stadium for a team that is there, I think that's a move that, you know, should at least be thought out instead of just whatever, you know, the NHL is doing right now. Obviously, Gary Bettman doesn't want it to happen. Maybe he doesn't want to admit that, you know, Phoenix was a mistake. But I just think that...
Yeah, I don't think Phoenix was a mistake. I do think it was a mistake for them to move all the way out to Glendale. And City Hockey Fever just posted in the chat room that it's 13 miles from where the arena was to where the arena is now. And the argument that City Hockey Fever is making is that he's 20 miles from MSG and you go to the Ranger and you go to Ranger games, and how is that a problem? And I understand what you're saying.
The Rangers are different though.
But no matter where you're coming from to go to Madison Square Garden, you can get there by public transit. To my knowledge, there may be one bus that you could take that would get you out to where to Jobbing.com Arena in Glendale. And you know there's the New York Rangers and there's the Phoenix Coyotes. You know, the Rangers have been around for 80 years and the Coyotes have been around for a little over I think it's about 15 years now. But you know, it's sad. I would hate to see the Coyotes leave, but I just don't see any way that eventually it doesn't happen. I think Bettman has an obvious aversion to the Blackberry King buying the team, but nobody seems to have a plan to keep hockey in Phoenix and make money. So I don't know really what's going to happen there. And we're getting ready to wrap things up. We've got 3 minutes to go. Joe, we made it through another show without running out of things to talk about. And
we never seem to.
And we've got our first topic ready for next week. So I don't forget this week, so I don't run out of time, because last week I started doing this and then we ran out of time and the show actually cut us off while I was still talking. So let me do this now before I forget. A few Ranger sites we want you guys to make sure you're checking out. Of course, Beyond the Blue Shirts with Lori. Make sure you take a look at her site. They do a great job. Don't forget our buddy The Mouth, who is still traveling. And hopefully when he listens to the podcast, he'll hear us mention his name. We love The Mouth. He is on a baseball trip, actually. He's working his way across the country, visiting a couple of ballparks. Last I heard, he was in Detroit at Comerica Field. So make sure you check out RangerCrisis.com. Mouth has his video blog. He also does a radio show. He's going to be joined on, I think it might be tomorrow night, he's going to be joined by Jess from the Prospect Park, who we had on our site a few weeks ago, did a live chat. He'll have him on live. We'll have Jess on the show probably sometime in September when we get into training camp, and there's just a little more to talk about. Joe and I talked about having Jess on, and we just feel like we kind of covered everything there was to cover in the live chat. When there's a few more things going on and some things are happening, we'll have Jess back on. You guys can call in with questions. And make sure you check out Paulie D's radio show. He's on Blog Talk Radio as well. Manic Ranger, themanicranger.com. That's Ryan McFadden. He's one of our writers. And let's see. We got about a minute to go, Joe. Anything you want to – any closing thoughts?
I think – that, you know, just let you all know that keep coming, and, you know, it's a lot. It means a lot for us, for you all to keep coming onto the show. And basically just keep listening, and, you know, we're going to be there. Something I did want to mention was that a lot of you are demanding a two-hour show. I think for the remainder of the off-season, you know, we'll probably stay with our one and a half, although who knows. But I think Jim and I have been talking about going to a two-hour show once the season starts, so we'll see what happens. But I don't know. It's the middle of August. There's not too much to talk about, but we'll get there eventually.
Well, we're filling an hour and a half pretty well.
Yeah.
I think, as always, we'll leave it up to the listeners, and we'll see what you guys want to do. If you guys want to do 2 hours, I could certainly talk for another half hour. But we'll figure that out.
We'll have our war room session.
Exactly. We got 60 seconds to go, and one thing I meant to do at the top that I forgot, I wanted to welcome all the new members. I would say in the last week or so, we've probably picked up about 30 or 40 new members. I want to welcome all of you to Blue Shirt Banter. I hope you're enjoying the site. We certainly love having you. Also, anybody, you guys that are listening to the show every week, We really appreciate it. I checked our numbers today, and I was amazed at how many people are listening to this, Joe. I mean, we're just sitting here talking about the Rangers, and people actually want to hear this stuff. So that was great to see. So for now, we're gonna end the show. And Joseph, always a pleasure having this time with you. And
you too, Jim.
I'll see you next Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll catch you next Wednesday.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Good night.